Good morning, church. How are you this morning? I hope you are fine. It is a great joy once again to be with you this morning. So please then turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We continue on our series of studies. We started from Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. Now we are in Matthew chapter 6. This morning we shall consider verse 9 and 10. We are considering the Lord's Prayer. That is what is called the Lord's Prayer. An encouragement for us to come before God. An encouragement for us to speak to Him as He listens to us. There is guarantee here that the Lord listens to us as we pray to Him. We have seen that last week. So we continue on the same regard even this morning. And the Lord bless those who have come to visit us, those who come here for the first time today. We do acknowledge you. May the good Lord bless you. We hope that you may find this a church where God is held in high honor, because that is what we aim to do. Matthew chapter 6, I read from verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. May He write His eternal truth upon our hearts. We are still on top of the mountain. Remember, Jesus went throughout Galilee, throughout all the cities, and He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. A multitude followed Him. Then as He saw the multitude following Him, He went up. They went on that mountain, and the Bible tells us that people followed Him. As the people followed Him, He went on top, and His disciples followed Him as well. And the Bible says He began to teach them. So now the disciples are still gathering around Jesus Christ, learning about kingdom life. Kingdom life that we see from chapter number 5. We see the blessedness of being a Christian. The blessedness of being poor in the spirit. The blessedness of being hungry for righteousness. The blessedness of being a merciful person. Jesus Christ continues and says, we are also blessed that we may bless others. We see there that He says, we must be influencing the world. We must be the salt of the world. We must be the light of the world. We must shine bright. We must influence our surrounding. We must not let our surrounding influence us as the children of God. He continues to teach us about a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes. A righteousness that is exceeding any righteousness that may be found in this world. The righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. He's teaching us there that we must be like Him. And the only way to be like Him is to believe in Him. To cling to that old rugged cross. To pour your heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ. To come to Him in faith and repentance. Then He continues, then He says to us, it doesn't help for us to believe in Him if we continue to carry our sins every day we live. We must not be like submarine Christians who sink deep in sin from Monday to Saturday. Then on Sunday we sneak up with our Bibles and we take out the dust and we say, holy, holy, God Almighty. Says, no, we must avoid being angry. We must not be murderers from our own heart, because that is equal as murder. We must not be a lustful people. We must swear. We must not swear falsely. Actually, our yes must be yes, our no must be no. And we must not pay revenge. We must not be a revengeful people. We must be people who are honest. We must be people who are perfect as God is perfect. Then He continues then to teach us about the life that we see here on the earth. He says, when you give, do not give as the world gives. Give as a Christian. Do not let even your left hand see what your right hand does. In other words, let giving be between you and your God. So we see that Jesus is teaching us kingdom life. Then we saw him saying, even as we pray, we must not pray like the world. We must not pray like the hypocrites who exalt themselves in prayer. Those people who want to be seen that now they are praying. But also must not be like the sinners who pray to a God of their own imagination. Sinners who pray and bring phrases, empty phrases before God. We saw that from verse 1 to verse 4 of chapter 6. We just repeat things and act as though we are holy or we are more righteous than others. He says, no, go to your separate room, your secret place, and pray to the God who is in heaven. So they are continuing now, again, learning about this kingdom life, learning what true righteousness really looks like, learning what genuine prayer looks like. We have also learned that what should encourage us to pray is the fact that God is our Father. We saw that last week, that our prayers are heard in the God's holy place that is in heaven. God hears our prayers. God has a special place for us in his heart that encourages us to come and pray before him. What encourages us to pray is nothing more than knowing that special relationship that we have with God. That God actually holds us in the palm of his hand or upon his arms as his children and say, cry to me, I am listening. We have seen last week that only Christians are actually allowed to come before God. A non-Christian person can pray, but there is no guarantee unless that prayer is a prayer of faith, unless that prayer is a prayer of repentance. But we have the right to draw near to God. What a blessing. That is what we saw last week, that our prayers are welcome before the throne of God above, because God is our Father and he is in heaven. Our prayers are directed unto heaven where he dwells. So he's dwelling in heaven. But not only does he dwell in heaven, God is heavenly. In other words, he's separate from any king, father, or a God that people can imagine in this world. He is a heavenly God. Our prayers ascend unto heaven. There is no distance between earth and heaven that can stop our prayers. Although we know that the distance cannot be counted, nobody knows. But immediately, as we pray to God, in that instant, as a child of God, the doors of heaven are open for you. God listens. He inclines his ear unto you. Because he is a sovereign God. He is above everything else. He is the creator and he listens to our prayers. So for that reason, we approach him with great confidence, because our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, our righteousness, our solid ground where we stand, because all other ground is sinking sand. But we are built on solid ground. This morning we find out that we need to have our spirit and our souls risen to the heights of heaven. That's what we're going to see this morning as we learn about prayer, that we must tap into a different level as we pray to our God. It is true that many of us live in this world of sin, this world of trials, this world of tribulation. And we are pressed on both sides. We are pressed by needs. We have needs. And sometimes these needs can fool us in a way that even as we come to prayer, we begin by bringing the needs unto God. Yet this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us something different. Not because our needs are not important, but is teaching to us the climax of prayer, if you will. the glory of God, the divine dignity of God, the worship and the praise of God. Something that we must long for as a church. Something that we must long to see in our nation, in our township. The glory of God. Praying for the glory of God. That should be primary in our lives. We see three petitions before us this morning. Three petitions which really separate us from any praying people outside the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we pray for God's name to be honored. We pray for God's kingdom to come. We pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So we have these three questions that we need to answer then this morning. Firstly, what does it mean to pray for His name to be honored? What does that mean? Verse number 9. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, may Your name be honored. May Your name be made holy, O God. May Your name be recognized as a name above every name. And friends, I want to tell you this morning, when we speak of the name of God, we speak about God Himself. You cannot separate God and His name. This psalmist says in Psalm 138 verse 2, if you are writing down, it says, I bow down towards Your holy temple and give thanks to Your name, to Your steadfast love and Your faithfulness. Why? For You have exalted above all things Your name and Your word. Above all things in this world, God has exalted His name and His word. Those two things are the two things that God holds dear in His heart. Things that brings Him glory. His name and His word. And every time God wants to reach a people, a sinful people, when God wants to reveal Himself, when God wants to reveal salvation to a people, He reveals His name. God, when He speaks to a people and He wants them to believe in Him, He speaks about His name. Remember Moses? What am I going to say to Pharaoh? How am I going to let the people follow me? Tell them My name. Tell them I am sent you. That is the only message. Just give them the name of the Lord and people will follow you. Give men the name of God. In Malachi chapter number 1, verse number 11. Listen to what God says through the prophet. He says, For from the rising of the sun to its setting, My name will be great among the nations. This is when God wants the nations to believe on Him. He wants the nations to believe, so He gives them His name. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, My name will be exalted among the nations. In every place, incense will be offered to My name. He was supposed to say to me. He says, to My name. So you cannot separate the name of the Lord and the Lord. Incense will be offered to My name. And a pure offering. Why? For My name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But then, if you read verse number 12, in the very same chapter of Malachi, there we find the reason why, as the children of God, we need to pray for the name of the Lord to be honored. He begins by saying, You have profaned My name. You have desecrated My name. You have dishonored My worship. That is verse number 12. That is the reason why we should pray. Because God's name is dishonored. God's name is no longer in that high esteem as He wanted to be. God's name is now down there at the bottom, just like My name. It says here in Malachi chapter number 1 verse 12, Because of you, the nations of the world does not know how to honor the name of the Lord. And we can see, even in our days, friends, even in our days, those who call themselves children of God live like demons. That's why we need to pray that God's name may be honored. We need to pray that many people will turn away from celebrating worthless things that they may celebrate the name of the Lord, that man, woman, and child may celebrate the name of the Lord. That is what we need to pray for. Because unless the name of God is honored, there is no hope for any nation. Unless the name of the Lord is honored, there is no hope in our family, there is no hope in our marriage. There is no hope in our lives and in the life of the church. God's name must be honored. There will be no lasting effect. There will be no change in this life. Doesn't matter what political party we vote for, unless the name of the Lord is honored. Unless God is God in the lives of the people, there will be no lasting change. Unless God is God in your family, there will be no change. There will be no respect. There will be no women honoring husband, husband loving wife, children obeying parents. Unless God's name is honored, your children will not respect you. God's name needs to be honored. That is the cry. That is what we need to do. To honor the name of the Lord is to live lives devoted to God. To live away our iniquity. Friends, it is to live for God. Even when, maybe in your family, we are the only person who seems to be living for God and everyone else seems to be living for the devil. But the call is to you as a child of God to lift up that flag or that banner, as it were, of the name of God in your family. Those, maybe there's someone here, maybe your husband is not saved. Maybe your wife is not saved. Maybe your children are not saved. It is for you to lift up that name of God in that family. Maybe your friends, the one that you love the most, are not saved. They have not come to Jesus. They have not believed. They have not come to faith. Should Jesus Christ come tonight or this morning, they will end up in a place called hell, where there's gnashing and grinding of teeth. But for you to change that, preach the word, of course. But you need to lift up the name of God. You must live a life worthy of the cross. It is to honor the name of the Lord, to live devoted lives, my friend. That this speaks of inward affection to God. There must be something from inside us that shows the world that we belong to God. This is a call to have our being or our human faculties, which means our inside, the core, what makes me me. This is a call to death, to live a life that glorifies God, a life to the service of God. It is a call to seek Him in everything that we do. Because friends, we must not be like those who draw near with their mouth and honor God with their lips while their hearts are far from God. Jesus called your churches that when we pray, we should be reminded that the name of the Lord is the strong tower whereby men or righteous men will run unto. We must always have that. The name of the Lord is the strong tower. If I want change, I need the name of the Lord. It is the strong tower. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm chapter 7, verse 17. Listen what the psalmist says. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. That is what God wants to see, my friend. That is what God desires. That is what we must pray for our friends and our families, that we may give thanks to the name of the Lord. And then we see here that during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees and the scribes had profaned, dishonored the name of the Lord. How did they do that? The Bible says they preached, but they did not practice what they preached. That is to dishonor the name of the Lord. Today it has gone even much further than that. People don't even preach the name of the Lord anymore. They just do crazy things in the name of the Lord. Some of us, as James was saying this morning as we were reading, some of us can only listen, but when we hear, we don't do what we hear. We continue in our sin. We profane the name of the Lord. That is what they did in those days. Listen to what Jesus says to them in Matthew 23, verse 2 to 4. The Bible says the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seats. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with a finger. They don't practice what they preach. We need to practice what we preach. We need to exercise what we hear from the Lord. Friends, our hearts, our desire should be to see God truly worshipped in this world. We need our eyes to be open to see how holy is this name of our God. To see that God is essentially and perfectly holy. God is holy. Therefore, if we want to trade on that holy ground, we also need to be holy, for He is holy. If we want to come to Him in prayer and embrace His holy name and have our prayers answered, we need to be a holy people. Even in these days of Christless Christianity. Because knowing that God is holy and then living a holy life will produce more families that live the holy life, will produce more churches that are holy. So we must pray that everyone who named the name of the Lord may depart from iniquity, and in that way the name of the Lord will be honored. We need to get on our knees, friends. This is Jesus calling His disciples to pray. We need to get on our knees and pray for His name. We need to pray, Lord, may Your glory fill the temple. Lord, may Your glory come. Lord, we are thirsty for You. Lord, we are desperate for You. Fill us now. Fill us with Your presence. We long for You, O our God. Make Your name known among the nations. Show us Christ through the preaching of Your word. That should be our prayer. Show us Christ. Show us Christ. Lord, show us Christ. Because God desires that, my friend. God desires to find a special place within our hearts. He desires that everything may be about Him. Is everything about God in your life? As you move, as you do your doings, is everything about God? The Bible says, whether we eat, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Are you living your life to the glory of God? Yes, you go to school perhaps. Do you do that for the glory of God? Maybe you are working. Do you do your work to the glory of God? Maybe you just a stay-home mom raising children, a homemaker. That is good. Are you doing that to the glory of God? Are you coming to this church for the glory of God? Is everything for the glory of God? But secondly, let us answer this. What does it mean to pray for His kingdom to come? Verse number 10, first part says, Your kingdom come. When we speak of God's kingdom, friends, we speak of God's reign. That's what we are referring to here. But we have observed in chapter number 3, in the preaching of John the Baptist, that actually the kingdom of God has already come in Jesus Christ. We have seen that. Even in Jesus' preaching in chapter number 4, Jesus is preaching in verse number 17, saying that repentance is a prerequisite, is a requirement to enter into this kingdom, this glorious kingdom of God that has already come. That is Jesus Christ preaching. That is what we have seen. The Bible also says in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. Listen very carefully what the Bible says. It says, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, He answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. Behold, take note, be careful of this, study this very careful. Behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. That is Jesus Christ. So, what we see here is that Christ is reigning right now. He is seated on the right hand of God, ruling the world, interceding for the saints, interceding for me and for you in heaven already, but ruling the world. Jesus is like a high priest the high priest of the Old Testament, who was a communication bridge, if you will, between the saints and God. The priest of the Old Testament who came with the blood of bulls, goats. But Jesus Christ entered the holy place with his own blood, the precious blood of his of the cross. He entered in. And he came there to unite a sinful man with a holy God, to make them one, to make them a family, bring in the kingdom of heaven into the world through the death of the cross. Of course, when we are saying the kingdom of Christ has come, we are not saying it has fully come or completely come. That's not what we are saying. But the Bible tells us that in a way, the kingdom of God has come. That is why we are able to pray. Listen to Jesus himself in chapter number 6, verse 33. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So, in this world, we are able to seek the kingdom of God already. We are able to enter the kingdom of God already, because the kingdom of God has come in Christ. In this world, we are able to do that. In this world, Jesus right now is ruling the world with truth and grace, turning sinners into saints, saving both Jews and Gentiles, making them one new man, making them one elect people of God, not two, but one. But still, he says here, pray that the kingdom of God may come. We still have that dilemma here. I'm saying the kingdom has come, but Jesus says, pray that it may come. What does it mean? What does it mean? Pray the kingdom of God. Because the Bible clearly reveals, friends, that Satan's power is paralyzed by the cross. The kingdom of the devil is destroyed. Not completely, but it is paralyzed. It does not have sway, power, or rule against God's people. Because Jesus is king right now. But he says, pray that his kingdom may come. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. Listen to what the Bible says. This is Apostle Paul speaking of Jesus, the King. "You, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its illegal demands. This he did by nailing it to the cross." What did he do in the cross? He continues here. "He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them." Jesus, that's what he did at the cross, bringing in the kingdom of God. And because of that, friends, he says later on, has he rise from the dead. He says to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you till the end." Jesus says the kingdom has come, but he continues here, says pray. Because we see that on that day of his resurrection, Jesus has destroyed the kingdoms of this world through the power of the cross. We see that the gospel is moving from Samaria to Jerusalem to the ends of the world. The kingdom of darkness is being destroyed by the power of the gospel. As he rose from the dead, as he rose from that tomb on the third day, the Lamb of God, the one who came, who was a king, who came down on earth and humbled himself, he became the Lamb of God. Now, on that day, the Lamb of God became officially the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that Lion was crowned a king. From a king to a Lamb, from a Lamb to a Lion, from a Lion to a king. Our God reigns, Jesus Christ. But still, we have not answered the question. Pray for the kingdom to come. I'm just trying to prove to you what Jesus has done for us. That's why we are victorious, triumphant in this world. We triumph over everything because Jesus is our King. He says we must pray for his kingdom to come.
But he himself preached that at his coming he brought in a kingdom of light to the kingdom of darkness. Remember in Matthew chapter number 4, verse 15 to 16, he says there, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. So what does it mean to pray for the kingdom of God to come? Because now we are living in what the Old Testament people, the old believers, were hoping for. We are living in what is called realized eschatology. We are living in what the Old Testament people were hoping to get to as the coming of the kingdom of God. They waited with eager expectation for the coming of the Messiah to bruise the serpent's head. And he did that. They waited with eager expectation for the seed of Abraham, who was to come into the world so that all the nations of the world would trust in him. And he came. They waited with eager expectation for the descendant of David to build the holy temple of God on the third day. He did that. They waited with eager expectation for that predicted new covenant that was God was going to bring into the world, as he prophesied through Jeremiah. And the book of Hebrews says he did that. That new covenant is now written in your heart through the blood of the cross. The law of God is in your heart. He did that by the power of the cross. They waited with eager expectation for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a sign of the kingdom of God to come, according to Joel. It happened in Acts chapter 2. Christ has come. God reigns right now. Yet we are waiting for the second coming of Christ to reign physically into this world. We are waiting for the second coming of our King. The Bible says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come out, those who have done good to a resurrection of life. Woe unto those who have done evil. They will come out to the resurrection of judgment. When he comes is judgment. Yet here he says, pray for the kingdom of God to come. Let us answer that then quickly. I say Jesus is reigning with God right now. But here is the point, friends. Though he's reigning with God right now, but at the moment, listen careful, at the moment, the kingdom of God is still absent from many people's hearts. Remember, he said the kingdom of God is in your midst, but it's not in everyone's heart. At the moment, the kingdom of God is still absent in the hearts of men. The world is flooded with unbelievers. And for Christ then to come and reign everlastingly in this world, in this earth, we need to pray that the sinners will be saved and peace, that it may be ushered into this world very soon. We must pray for unbelievers. We must pray for salvation. We must pray for the gospel of God to be victorious and overcome the sinful hearts of men. That is what this is about. The church needs to pray for the work of the cross to continue in this world. The work of the cross to fill the whole earth. The church needs to pray for the kingdom of God to come to its consummation, to come to its fullness, to its completion through the preaching of God's word. We need the preaching of God's word. Woe unto you if you really think there's another way that you can reach, that you can live or survive without the word of God. We need the preaching of the word of God. That's why we work hard in this church to bring you true preaching, biblical preaching, because only the preaching of God's word will bring God's kingdom into its consummation, into its fullness. We need to pray for the gathering of believers from all four corners of the world by the power of the gospel. That is what we need to pray for. Matthew 24, verse 14. If you are writing down, listen to what Jesus says.
And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as the testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Until the gospel is preached to all nations, the end will not come. But praise to be our God, He has set date and time. So let us be part of the kingdom of God, the people who are spreading the kingdom of God. Then our Christ will come. He will come for us. He will descend from heaven. And He will take us home. We will meet Him in the air, the Bible says. And we shall be with Him forever. We shall be with Him in that city where the Lord our God, the Almighty Jehovah, and the Lamb, the Bible says, they will be our temple. That's why we have one temple, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we worship and sacrifice our lives. But on that day, He shall physically come down and be living with us. You go home, you read Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says there, let me read for you just a little bit. It says, but we are citizens of heaven, and from there we await a Savior. Already, friends, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, here's the good news. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are already a citizen of heaven. You may be walking down the dusty streets of this place of Olivet, but your name is in the book of the living. If you have not believed, where is your name? What is your citizenship? So in other words, now we are praying for something that is already, something that is already existing, that it may come to its fullness. We are praying for the kingdom of God, and that can only come through the preaching of the word of God. We are praying that Christ may come and renew this world of sin, that He may come and remove the suffering of this world, that He may come and end the wars and the rumors of wars in this world, that He may come and take away our body of sin and give us that new and glorious body that we may be able to see and meet Him. Without that glorious body, we will not meet the Lord. Our eyes are not able to look unto the Lord and live right now. But one day, we'll be even given new eyes to see, and we shall see Him and not another. We shall behold Him. We shall stand before Him face to face when He comes. Are you praying for that? Is that in your heart right now, that God may come? Are you spreading the gospel, my friend? Jesus' instruction here is that we pray for the new heaven and the new earth, whereby our tears will be wiped away completely. The new heaven and the new earth, whereby God will completely tabernacle. In other words, He will live among us as a temple of God, like I was saying. He will be in the midst of His people. We must pray for that complete removal or end of rebellion in this world. Because we are rebels. We are rebelling from God every day. But we must pray for that rebellion to come to an end. We must pray, because the kingdom of God, friends, needs to come inwardly before it can come outwardly. And the only way it can come inwardly is for us to preach, for us to pray, for the unbelievers to turn from their wicked ways and come to Christ and believe in Him. Then His kingdom will come. We must pray for the salvation of the lost. Deadly. What does it mean that we must pray for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? Verse number 10, the last part. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, I think we all know, if you didn't know, now you know, that the will of God is getting done each and every day anyway. But here He says, let us pray for His will to be done. So let me give you little bit of explanations before you pray, so that you know what you are praying for. There are two aspects of the will of God that we need to observe. Firstly, it is what is called a decreed will of God. A decreed will of God is that will which is formed or set in order by God from the beginning, from eternity past. Let me put it that way. The will of God that stands forever. And there is no need for you to pray for that will, because it will come. And that is the will that is happening right now. Remember what King Nebuchadnezzar we read last week. I'm going to read for you again. He says in chapter number 4 of Daniel, verse 35. He says,
God does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say to Him, what have you done? God is sovereign. His will is done. That is the decreed will of God. It will be done. He has decreed that some may be saved, they will be saved. If He has decreed that all may be saved, all will be saved. That is the decree. But what we are looking at this morning, what we need to be praying for, is not the decreed will of God. It's what is called revealed will of God. The revealed will of God is that will of God that is revealed clearly even in heaven before the angels, and they are doing it right now. The revealed will of God is that will of God that is revealed clearly to all of us in Christ through the scriptures. The will of God. That is what we need to pray for. That is the will of God that we pray for, the will that we wrestle against within our own hearts. When God says, do this, you want to do that. His will is for you to go that way, you go that direction. We pray for that will to be done. His will for you is to stop sinning, but you continue in your sin. We pray for that will to be done. His will is for you to commit more in the house of the Lord, but you are just a lazy person. That will we must pray for to be done. That is the will of God that must be done in our lives. And that will, friends, is revealed clearly to us. I'm going to give you just one scripture. Romans chapter 12. Let's read verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world or the standard of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God is revealed here. It's something that is good and perfect. We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may discern the will of God that is written in scripture for us. In other words, we need to walk as wise people before God. We need to walk as wise because the days are evil. We need to live lives that are not influenced or leaning towards evil, because these days are evil. So we must have the will of God against the will of the world. The world has got its own will, but God does have His own will. We must not be influenced by the world. The will of God is for us to have a renewed mind, transformed heart, know what is good, know what is perfect, know what is pleasing to our God. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 6 verse 40. He says, for this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks unto the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. That is the will of God, that people may have eternal life by looking at the Son of God. Have you looked at the Son of God? Because that is the will. Have you shunned all the wrongs and began to do all the rights? That is the question. The will of God is that we may look and believe on the Son of God. And then one day, the same verse says, Jesus Himself will raise us from the dead on the last day. That is why, friends, if one refuses obedience to the will of God, that person does not have saving faith. If you continue in sin, willingly continue in sin, without stop, you have no saving faith. Because the Bible says, he who is born of God does not continue in sin. It doesn't say we don't sin. It doesn't say that, but we don't continue in sin. We see our sin, we repent in ashes. That's why the Bible says, he is faithful and just. We may come before him. He's faithful and just, so that when we repent, he may forgive us our sins. That is the will of God. How will you know the will of God? I said it's the will that is revealed in scripture. But how are you going to know the will that is revealed in scripture if you do not even read the Bible? How are you going to know? Friends, how are you going to pray? Because this is about prayer. For the will of God, if you don't know what the will of God is, do you see how big this is? Knowing the word of God is to know the will of God. So we must pray that the will of God may not continue to clash. Let me put it vice versa. We must pray that our will may not continue to clash with the will of God, humanly speaking. Because in our hearts, our will clashes all the time with the will of God. It must be the prayer of the church to see a holy people before God. Remember Jonah?
who went to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh, that man went against the will of God. Remember King Saul? King Saul went away, went against the will of God. God commanded King Saul to kill all the sheep and the king from the foreign nation. He spared the life of the king. He took fat sheep and said he wanted to sacrifice for God. God was displeased. He went against the will of God. And consequently, he lost his kingdom to David. Not only did he lose his kingdom to David, he was tormented and tortured by demons day and night. So says the Bible. That's what happens when you go against the will of God. If you are tortured by demons, it is because we are going against the will of God. You need Christ in your life. Your will must not be done. Christ's will needs to be done. Noah is a perfect example. He went with the will of God. God wanted Noah to preach and build the ark. Noah built the ark. Noah preached for 120 years, doing the will of God. Indeed, we see the picture of Christ coming up in this world, going to that cross, building that spiritual ark, so that me and you may enter in into that ark and be saved from the floods of this world, from the rain that is to come, the wrath of God, the fires of hell. We will be saved through the ark. And our ark is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the will of God. Can we pray for the will of God? It says, it is done in heaven. That is good news and encouragement. So in other words, friends, in heaven, righteousness reigns. In heaven, there is peace and joy. In heaven, there is perfect worship. So it should be our desire then to see the will of God done here on earth as it is in heaven. To see multitudes of people professing genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To see families coming into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To see families begin to care more about the will of God and thereby give themselves to purity and faithfulness before God. That is what should be our prayer. To see the pro-abortion movement come into repentance before God. To see thieves and robbers, gays and lesbians, evolutionists, atheists, repenting in ashes. That is what we want to see. God will be glorified. Let the church pray for those things. And indeed, church, right now, what I'm talking about looks like a losing battle. Sin is continuing. Churches are not growing. Okay, the others are growing. But churches are not growing. Sin is continuing. It looks like a losing battle. It looks like a hopeless situation. But friends, there's a time that is coming, and it is already here, whereby Jesus Christ will put all his enemies under his feet. And we will no longer pray this prayer, God, may your will be done. No, we will be standing side by side with a multitude of the saints of the past, the saints that we live with right now. We'll be standing with them, praying to God, where is the Lamb who was slain? Where is the Lamb who received the power, the wealth, the wisdom, the blessing and the glory and the might? Where is the Lamb? We'll be singing that. Not God, may your will be done. Are you looking forward to that day? Because I am. And for me to get there, the will of God must be done. His name must be honored. His kingdom must come. In my life, it must come. Do you have the same desire, my friend? To walk side by side with him. To walk with him in your streets of gold, shining with glory. No sin to hinder you anymore. No torments of this life. Free. Free. Is that your desire? So let us be encouraged to do the will of God. Let us pray for the church. Let us pray for our friends and our loved ones. Let us pray for every man, woman and child to do the will of God. Not just to attend the church, but to glory in the Lord. To find a father in God. To find God as the perfect, loving and kind father. That our lives may turn from normal lives to lives of worship day by day. That our hearts may be consumed by the love of God. That our hearts may be consumed by a desire to see the world worship God. A desire to see our friends and our families coming with us and praising the Lord with one voice. Let me close like this. The primary focus of your prayer life should be the name of the Lord the kingdom of God, the will of God, primary. Next week we'll look at the other part, which is also important, which is verse 11 onwards. We'll look at that from 11 to 15. But the primary focus, the name of the Lord, the kingdom of God, the will of God. So pray for the name of the Lord to be honored in this world, that he may be exalted among the nations. Pray that you may be personally involved in the life of the church, whereby you personally bring into pass the kingdom of God by being involved financially and spiritually. Pray for your tithing. Pray for your giving in the church, because that is your spiritual worship. Pray for it. It doesn't come easy. Pray. In that way, the kingdom of God will come, because we will send men. We will do things in this church. We will distribute tracts. We will stand everywhere as we come together spiritually and financially and fill this house of God with saved saints. Pray that we as believers may also increase in acknowledging God as our sovereign King, that we may know that he rules the world with truth and grace, that we may do in accordance to his will, that we may live our lives as the inhabitants of heaven, citizens of heaven, but not citizens of this world. Pray that we may see healthy churches growing, growing, and growing. Pray that we may see healthy churches planted even here in Olivet. Pray for our move, because we want to move from here as we are disturbed. Today that man is doing his thing, tomorrow someone will be riding a scooter, and the next day somebody will be burning the tent that side, as it is, you can see. They were trying to burn it. We want to go to the other side, extension 36. That needs our prayers. Pray for the kingdom of God. Pray for this church. Be involved in the life of this church. Pray that heaven may come down to earth, as it were. What do I mean by that? Pray that the same will of God that is done in heaven, that it may be done here on earth as well. Pray that we may all find joy in our relationship with God, that we may be committed in this ministry of church planting here in Olivet. Pray that we may not be a stumbling block for other people who wants to come into this church, but that we may be welcoming, that we may be a joyful people of God. Pray. Those things need our prayers. Pray for that glorious kingdom to come, where the name of the Lord will be fully honored, where his will be done without resistance, but with joy and gladness. Let us pray. So friends, the message is very simple. Let us have the glory of God in our hearts. Let us have the glory of God in our mind, in everything that we do. Let us have the glory of God even in the midst of our prayer. The good Lord bless us. May he be glorious in our lives. Amen.